When we sing about the hallelujah side, it implies that there is another side. What would you call it? The non-hallelujah side? Where it's hard to produce a sound of worship and a sound of praise and a sound of appreciation to God. Things aren't going as we think they ought to go, and so we get down. David learned to say, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." But I think he learned that lesson, shall we say, the hard way. Sometimes we do learn lessons in ways that we would rather not have to go through. But the quote that I just made is from the 34th Psalm. If you want to just look at it, I want to just read a few verses from that Psalm with you this morning. And you'll notice at the introduction to that Psalm, it says that this is a Psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. There are a number of psalms that we can connect directly with the life of David, the historical part of the life of David. And this particular psalm fits with the events that are recorded in 1 Samuel 21. You don't have to turn to that. But this was a time in David's life where he was at a very low point in his life. Probably, if you study his life, it was the lowest point in his entire life. He had just bade his good friend Jonathan goodbye. You know, Jonathan was Saul's son, and Saul was the one that was trying to kill David. And Jonathan, of course, was caught between the loyalty to his father and also the great friendship that he enjoyed with David. But it reached a point where Jonathan could no longer defend his father, and Jonathan began to realize that his father was indeed trying to do great harm to David. And he had to come to David and to express his recognition of what his father was doing. And that caused them to part company, and David went off to seek some refuge in the most unlikely place. This kind of tells us how desperate he was. He went to the land of the Philistines. But here he is without his good friend Jonathan. He is he's all alone. He has none of his bodyguards. The army that he eventually assembled did not join him until later. He was totally alone. He had absolutely no weapons on him at this time, and he's wandering away. He eventually was given the sword of Goliath when he went to the priest. But that was the only weapon he had. He was hungry. He had no food. This was the point in his life when he was given the showbread to eat out of desperation. It was also, as I said, he was in enemy territory. He was going to the very city that was the hometown of Goliath. And carrying the sword of Goliath was probably not the wisest thing for him to be doing coming into that city. But it shows us how confused he was and how absolutely desperate he was. And then when he saw how his life was in danger, this was the time when he pretended to be a madman. He started scratching at the gate of the city and letting the spittle run down his mouth. And finally, the king of Gath said, "Don't I have enough madmen around me that you bring me this guy?" And David had to run for his life. And he finally found shelter in the cave of Adullam. And that's where his parents joined him, and that's where the army of 400 joined him. And things began to at least turn around for him. But this was indeed a very low point of his life. And it was at this time that he wrote this psalm. Probably sitting there in the cave, reflecting on what he had done and how he had behaved and how he had not put his trust in God as he should have, when he began to say, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord," and so forth. But the thoughts that I wanted to leave with you this morning are found in the 4th through the 7th verses. And let me read those for you. This is his testimony. This is what apparently took place at that time. Just these four verses. He speaks this as his testimony. He says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and he delivers them." What a testimony. What a testimony. "I sought the Lord, and he heard me." And then the parallel expression in the 6th verse, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." And as I pointed out, troubles was what David had at this time, great troubles. There's some popular song that speaks of troubles with a capital T, and that rhymes with something else. And it sort of makes a lighthearted approach to troubles. But there's nothing lighthearted about troubles that we face, and we all encounter troubles at one point or another in our lives. Troubles that we can describe very, very specifically. But he also speaks of his fears at this time. And I guess fears also can be very pinpointed to specific things in our lives that frighten us. But fears have also a way of coming upon us sometimes in unexplained ways. We suddenly feel apprehensive or have some fear of something unknown, and it just overwhelms us. And these are the things that David experienced. He experienced trouble, he experienced fear. But his approach to that was to cry out to God. "I sought the Lord," or "this poor man cried." And he went right to the source of his strength. He went to God himself, the all-powerful one, as we've already heard, the one who has the ability to change it. Oh, what grief we often forfeit, all because we do not take everything to God in prayer. And David had no other alternative, I suppose. Where could he turn? He couldn't turn to the Philistines. He couldn't turn to even his best friend, Jonathan. Couldn't turn to mother or father or brothers. Couldn't turn to his loyal 400 that eventually joined him, and I think that grew to 600. And small army. Couldn't turn to any of them. They weren't there. He was all alone in this cave, and so he cries out to God, this poor man cried. This poor man cried. And then his testimony was that God heard him. God heard his cry. And God responded to him. And God delivered him, he says in the fourth verse. In the sixth verse, he says, he saved him out of all his troubles. In the fourth verse, he delivered me from all my fears. And then his life was filled with joy. They looked to him and they were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Now, it's worth noting that his circumstances did not change immediately. He continued to have to fight and struggle, but ultimately God saved him. But sometimes we expect immediate relief, don't we, when we call out to God. And our faith is tested. Our trust in God is tested. But as we continue to bless the Lord at all times and let his praise continually be in our mouths, we begin to see that God changes things. Prayer changes things. The New Testament tells us that it is our privilege and our right, and maybe even our duty, that we can come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find help in time of need. And so today, as we worship and thank God for his blessings, let's remember that he is the source of all of our victory. He is the source of all of our solutions. He is the one that we can turn to make the great change in our lives.